All right, members and guests, we'll call the meeting of the Agriculture Rural Counties Veterans Affairs Committee to order. Representative Magnus moves the minutes of March 9th. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Okay, what we're doing today, obviously everyone knows, is we have a supplemental budget bill. This isn't a main budget bill. It's a supplemental budget bill that we have to do to address the $1 plus billion. It's probably, it depends, it changes every day, that's still out there. And certainly, you know, we're going to do our part as much as we can, like everyone, every other division. What I'll do first is have Mr. Reinholtz run through. You have a spreadsheet in here that gives basic details. You also, well, first of all, I move House File 3438 before the committee. And then to get the bill in the order I want, I'm going to offer the DE1 amendment. Okay, that's just to get it in the order. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The bill's in the order we need it and before you. The DE1 amendment reflects the spreadsheet. For the most part, you won't see a lot of language changes in here. There's a few spots, but we're trying to keep language to a minimum in here, and that was by instruction of department or of leadership and our fiscal folks, because when this is going to be rolled in, as you know, on Friday at noon, I believe, in a larger bill with the other state departments, and then this will move forward, and of course that means we're probably not sitting there negotiating. So what they want is just numbers as much as possible. If we have other descriptive items or program changes or other things as we work with departments and members and others, producer groups, we will be assembling in the next couple weeks a second bill that may have some minor fiscal things, but then certainly we'll have opportunities to do more descriptive items on policy or other things if we see need be as some of this moves forward, and if we have to be more descriptive than what we were. But we tried and asked staff to keep everything at a minimum for verbiage-wise. So, and I'll certainly, we'll go through the spreadsheets, and I don't know if you want to team up with Colby where there's changes as you do that, or if Colby, you want to do the language after he does a spreadsheet.
Mr. Chairman, it might be easier to just do the spreadsheet,
okay,
because the language is primarily just
right,
implementing the spreadsheet.
If there's anything spectacular in the language you need to point out, Mr. Sullivan, you can do that after. So, to the spreadsheet, which you all have in your hands. Mr. Reinholtz.
Mr. Chairman, members, there's in your packet should be a spreadsheet with the date 3/10 and time 9/36 down in the left-hand corner. That is the spreadsheet that the bill has been drafted to, so I'll go through it and indicate to you what the committee recommendations here are expressed as. It's this typical setup. It's a governor's recs for the current 10-11 year, then there's his tails and the House committee recs contained in the DE amendment, and then the House committee tails. Just to give you the beginning overview, that if you recall, you'll see on line 27, the governor in 10 and 11 had a net effect to the general fund of a minus $3,864,000. The House committee recs, once again on line, you can actually see it easier on line 29. The target for this committee is a reduction of $6,700,000, so considerably higher than the governor's, so that most of the changes in here you'll see there'll be additional reductions to agency budgets. Just to give you a summary, the summary by agency begins on line 9. You'll see that this House bill would reduce the Department of Agriculture, not including the ethanol payments, I'm referring to column T now, by $3,051,000. The ethanol payments are reduced over the 10-11 biennium by $2,255,000. The Board of Animal Health is reduced by $228,000. That is the same recommendation that the governor had. And on line 12, the Agriculture Utilization Research Institute is reduced by $370,000 over the biennium. That is significantly less than the governor's recommendation. In the Veterans Affairs Department, on line 15, the summary...
Wait a minute. We can, and if you have questions as we go, feel free to interrupt. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that the reduction in the ethanol producer payments is a deferment of those payments till a later date. It's not a reduction.
Right, and that, and what you see, if you look in the tails there, you won't see those cuts. So it's a one-time cut, and it goes under the same language you've used before, that those payments have to be made up at the tail end out into year 2012 or 13 or 14 or wherever we're at now. So they will get their money. It's just deferred. And since you don't see it in the tails, that means it's not a permanent cut. As you know, we're trying to protect that fund for future use, for livestock investment grants or next-gen energy grants or other things that our commodity groups and rural folks will use. So that's right, Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reinholtz, I would appreciate if we do, when we do get to the point, we talk about the tails and we talk about the reduction to the ag base, then, so we kind of have an understanding of what's going on there, the trends. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, that might be easier to do when I get into the details discussion, when I get into the details by agency.
Thank you.
I think I was in the Veterans Affairs Department, summary by agency. That would really be the line 16 through 19. Here there's a considerable change. The governor's recommendation included funding of $1.9 million. The House recommendation is $250,000. There also is, when we go through the language, you'll see there's some changes in the language that utilize the funding from the current biennium from last session to complete the same items that the governor had recommended at a slightly lowered amount, but utilizing current appropriations. That really, I mean, I'll just give you a summary. I started out with showing the net general fund effect of the governor was approximately $3.9 million reduction. The House recommendations have a 6.7, right on the target of $6.7 million reduction. So the difference is House has a net of $2,836,000 more of reductions. Just for a summary of the House tails, on line 29, once again, way over on the far right column, you'll see the target for the House tails was a reduction of $5,500,000. This bill makes that target and exceeds it by $182,000.
And just so members realize, remember the tails now will help us in the next 2 years when we all come back here and are facing an even larger deficit. This actually will go now to reducing that deficit ahead of time. So, you know, it's larger than the governor, but, I think, all of us would agree in a fiscal prudent way we should try and be as large as we can on tails without doing, major damage to anyone. So that's, tails targets are important at this point, but obviously we'll have an opportunity to discuss those tails target. If you're all back with me and or whoever is sitting here next year, you'll be able to discuss those in a current budget at that time. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members, then I'd move into the more specific details by agency, beginning then with the Agriculture Department. That starts on line 32 of the spreadsheet. And maybe I'll go through them and point out the differences between the committee position, or this House Bill Commission position, and the governor's position. On line 35 is the pesticide and fertilizer activity. This House bill has that reduced by approximately $82,000 over the biennium. The governor did not have a reduction there. On line 36 is the plant protection activity at the agency. There's significant difference here. You'll see in the House position there's a reduction of the biennium of $1,377,000. If you recall from testimony when the department came up, what they were doing was cutting back activity in gypsy moth and emerald ash borer and other invasive species activities. And what we're doing here is eliminating that activity from the department. So that's considerable savings or reductions were made in this one line item, in this one activity in the department, in $1.1 million. $1,103,000 more than the governor had, but and that's by eliminating those two activities. That's probably the largest change to the operation in the Ag Department. The next two lines is the dairy and food inspection and the laboratory changes. Those are in the House bill as recommended to the legislature and by the agency and the governor with some small reductions, and they gave details on that during their presentation. They would be the same as that. The ag marketing area is indicated for a reductions at the same level as the governor. And I can see here I have an error on the spreadsheet on the tails there. Those tails will end up being tailed the same as the governor. And if I make that correction, the bill reflects, the bill actually would reflect tails being at minus eight, not $200,000. The bioenergy and value added on line 44, this is the ethanol payments. It shows the ethanol payments in this bill at a reduction of $2,255,000. That is $579,000 more than the governor had as his recommended reductions in that. And as you can see, there are no reductions in the tails. Those reductions are only for this biennium. The payments, current law would, we didn't have to change current law on that. What the law reads is that we will make deficiency payments with available dollars until those payments are completely made up. And then that funding would be available for other value-added ag purposes. So it, in effect, as people have said, delays the payments on those deficiency amounts. Line 48 is the admin and financial services section of the agency. And line 49 is really what is the internal operations of the department are reduced by $338,000 over the biennium, which is around $300,000 more than the governor had reductions for. Lines 51 down through 62 are grants that the agency has. County fair grants were not reduced in the House bill. The livestock grants are reduced slightly as per the governor's recs. The northern crop and horticulture are at the levels you see there, slight reductions. Turf and native seed grass on 55, a reduction of $16,000, $2,000 more than the governor had recommended. Second harvest milk grants were recommended by the governor for a reduction. The House bill does not make that reduction. The next ones, the livestock investments and dairy development, were done in the House bill at the recommendations that came forward from the department and the governor. The Ag Leadership Council grant is at the level that came over from the governor. The next item is line 63, reductions for efficiencies. This recommends a $300,000 reduction in each year. And these are the items Chairman Junke has, when he has talked to the committee, that they're looking for. The MMB is looking for reductions in rent, in some of the IT expenditures, and hopefully there won't be any reductions in services. The plan is there won't be any reductions in services or operations, but efficiencies in the agencies. There is language in the bill that directs the commissioner to try to make those reductions.
And Representative Magnus has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. on this point, it's my understanding that the Department Administration does most of this stuff, negotiates the rents and and the contracts and all that sort of thing. And I haven't looked at the section of the language here and how we're directing this to be done, but I don't know how we're going to ask the Department of Ag to do it, and actually the Department Administration does it, and how they're going to work together. So that's
that.
The question I
got an answer.
Okay.
We did talk about that. You're exactly right. What's going on, members, this is an exercise being done, frankly, by Representative Kahn's committee, Government Operations, and MMB. And if you remember the presentation, the department threw up a slide at the end. All the departments are working with Minnesota Management and Budget. You know, in our case, they'll be looking at renegotiating a Port Authority contract on the building, renegotiating paper contracts, renegotiating technology. We have a brand-new technology center over there. Some of you that went on the tour remember that. We have about 10 of those technology centers, some very old, and they're going to, as these come up now for revamp, they're looking to assign technology over to some of the new ones, so we might collect rent and payments from other divisions. There's a whole host of things being done, but the bottom line is, and I asked Representative Kahn about this and our finance people, no matter what they do for savings, the savings don't stop in MMB because we actually pay the rent out of our budget, and we pay all this stuff. So we're going to, at this point, book those savings and encourage Representative Kahn, MMB, and the departments to be very aggressive with what they're doing. If it doesn't come, there is language in here that they still must find those efficiencies with or without MMB's thing. But I think they will. And I'll give you an example. I got a square footage from the department that's sitting there. As we know, there's about a floor in that five-floor building that's empty. And we've talked about it here before. I will tell you, amazingly enough, and to the commissioner, I'll tell you too, so you can communicate. We got a report the other day, Representative Solberg did, on Ways and Means on available space within state buildings. Your building didn't even show up on it. So there are a lot of things that they're looking at. They would like to get off-site leases pulled into here if we have space over the next year or two and utilize our building or others for that. So I think there's some real opportunities, and what we're asking is government to be a little more efficient, like we always say a business does, although I don't compare that this way. So is that helpful?
Well, I was just at, and Mr. Chairman, you and I, no, you and I have talked about this a few times, but I didn't know of the committee. I wanted to make sure the committee knew what our discussion was.
And for the same fact, for Veterans Affairs and others, they're going through that same, you know, exercise with management budget. We didn't book them into theirs because, again, they don't have empty space per se over there. Some other things that we think are real opportunities or technology centers or other things. But they're certainly going through the same operation on their contracts and their rentals and other things that they pay. And if they can find efficiencies, they may find some money over in Veterans Affairs too via less rent or less administrative costs. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman, hopefully the whoever's doing this works with the Department of Ag and put some, you know, if they are going to do that, put something in that certainly will enhance
our understanding now, yeah, that they will be, and I'm sure Commissioner Hugeson will be talking to Commissioner Hansen and make sure that they're able to account for those savings if they come forth, too. But if not, I mean, we'll work with them, and we're back here in 6 months or 8 months, and we'll some of these extend out. So,
Perkins got a question. Perkins.
Representative Torkelson, good to see you.
Oh, it's good to be here, Mr. Chair. Just a little clarification. You mentioned about empty space in state buildings and that the Department of Ag was not listed, or is that because they're relatively small amount of space, or is it because they were overlooked, or could you explain that a little more clearly?
I didn't bring it with me, but I, you know, we can certainly ask them. It was fairly significant, the space and the dollars that we're paying in additional rent, because we're paying for the rent on that space, even though it's empty, at about, I think it was about $33 a foot that we could realize a square foot rent on that if we could lease it out to someone. And I can get you those numbers. We'll provide them. But I'm just anecdotally telling you that the chair of Ways and Means came in, and he said, I thought you told me there was some empty space in Department of Ag building. I said, there is. He said, I got a report on my desk today that shows zero empty space at Department of Ag. So management budget, when they're looking for space for people, they're not even indicating to other departments that there's even space available. And it could be revenue across the street or anyone else. They don't have it on their list. So that was brought to me by the chairways because he was confirming it with me. I said, well, I've walked through there. As far as I know, there's no people there. So, yes, that's some of the efficiencies we're trying to discover here as we dig further and further and look at future budgeting that we have to do. Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, members, I was really down to the bottom of page one, so I'll go forward to page two now. This is still within the Department of Agriculture. There's one item left. On line 67, the governor and the agency had asked for a new fee on a tree registry that was related to the activity on Emerald Ash, and since they've now are really not going to be continuing that activity, this fee is not recommended in the House version of the, in the House bill. That would be the Department of Ag details. I'm moving into the Board of Animal Health on line 76. The House bill is recommending the position that the governor brought to the legislature, so the reductions are would be in activity would be as was described during the testimony by the Board of Animal Health. AURI on line 85, considerable difference here. The House is making a reduction of $370,000, a 6.4% reduction, which is the same percent reduction of the general fund as was given to the Department of Agriculture with ethanol excluded. That reduction is about $1.5 million less of a reduction than was recommended by the governor. Moving on, line 93, over to the veterans side of the bill, the Veterans Affairs Department. On line 96, the governor had military honor guard funding at 100.
Hang on a minute, Mr. Reynolds, before we move into that. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, Mr. Reynolds, but to jump back to the Board of Animal Health, I talked to the state veterinarian this morning again, and I wanted to point out again to the members that our testimony that day from the Board of Animal Health was that even though these reductions are painful, they feel they can still do the job, because I'm very concerned that we have any outbreaks out there. I want to make certain that the Board of Health has adequate resources to do that, and that's our understanding from them. And the testimony we heard the other day that I'm glad we didn't reduce their resources.
And it's
here.
My intent, if anyone wants, we'll ask for testifiers if people want to come up after the presentation here, and certainly there's questions for Board of Animal Health, but I think it's the same as you said. I think there's a part-time worker is retiring, and that accounts for someone. There was avian influenza, which isn't out there now, and so they don't have to do that testing as strenuous. So there were some internalities that they were able to take care of, and we were worried about cutting veterinarians and other services out there in this. That's why you see it reflective at what they recommended. So we didn't go beyond that at this point. And we can talk further about that. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on that same line of thought about food inspection, the cuts there, we did hear testimony as well that we would not compromise food safety or integrity as well.
And again, we can hear testimony further, but you're exactly right. I think as this committee talks about this bill moving, we do have some priorities, and it is food safety and public safety is number one. The cuts, if you remember the testimony from the department in dairy and food inspection, that was not implementing that electronic system. So there was, it was overhead costs, it was technology costs, and not necessarily people and inspectors. So we still have Representative Doty, whether they like it or not, your farmers are still going to see a dairy inspector in their barn, but that's a good thing. So you're right, and I thank you for bringing that up, Representative Hamilton, as we're doing our best prevent the lab services from having cuts, or the dairy inspections, or the deli inspectors, or Board of Animal Health who go out on the farm and do work there as veterinarians. So that was our overall goal in the ag section of this. All right, moving on.
Mr. Chairman, members, Veterans Affairs Department begins on line 93. This one, a little bit complicated, so I'll be referring not only to the spreadsheet, but also to the bill. As I said in the summary, we utilize some current appropriated dollars by shifting them around within the department. I think the bill accomplishes the initiatives that the governor had with a lot less new general fund money. Line 96, though, is the military funeral honor guard funding. The governor recommended $100,000 a year. The language in the bill on page 20, line 2028, has that appropriation listed in there. $100,000 is for compensation for honor guards. So the House bill does fund that item. On line 97, there is a House recommendation for $250,000 increase in the current grant to the Military Assistance Council of Veterans. Her testimony on that bill yesterday, I believe, Representative Hamilton's bill, and that is at 250 in this bill.
Mr. Reinholz, you said the honor guard funding was funny. You have a blank there. So
Mr. Chairman, it is not the on that. It's a little complicated in the okay. Veterans Affairs because
it's
not
new
funding. It is in the language okay. utilizing current funding, but since it's not new funding, it does not.
I just want people to be sure on that because you said one thing and we see another on the spreadsheet, but that's where it shows up in the language.
It is in the language.
All right.
Moving over to the veterans' home side of the department. The Fergus Falls expansion, if you recall, that was recommended by the governor at the numbers listed there, 1.360 in 11. The bill contains language appropriating $1 million in 11 for that program up at in Fergus Falls. It's out of the appropriation for fiscal year 11 from that was from last session. And if you recall during some of the department's testimony or in some of the handouts, they said they have expected now that they will be spending $1,062,000 less on food, fuel, and pharmacy costs. If you recall last session, they were given an increase in their appropriation to cover expected increases in those items. This session, they came to us with updated estimates that showed that they had overestimated last year and costs, primarily on the fuel side. Fuel costs are down considerably from when they estimated. They will not be using that $1,062,000 for those items. What the bill is doing is redirecting that $1 million to the Fergus Falls expansion. It's already in their budget. It was a line item with restrictions for certain use. The bill removes those restrictions. That frees that money up to be used by the department for Fergus Falls. So the House bill does fulfill at a slightly lower amount.
And that's on line 21.7 in the bill for those looking for it.
Mr. Chairman, yes. And it's at a slightly lower amount for primarily the department has indicated that the construction on that is likely going to be delayed. It's still quite a ways out, but it looks like it's going to be late. So we're thinking they can do it with that amount of money.
But the second year is the full requested amount, right?
Mr. Chairman, the second year is funded. The tails are funded at the full requested amount. And those are funded without new money because if you recall the affinity study that the department brought forth that we had in the committee one day shows that by implementing Medicare Part D, that's the drug cost side of the Medicare, they will have savings each year of $1,113,000. We are indicating using those savings for the tails on the Fergus Falls Nursing Home expansion. So we're able to do the activities and the operations requested with utilizing shifts in the current budget from items that one is increased revenue, the other one is decreased expenditures. Mr. Chairman, there also is then on line 101, the Minneapolis adult daycare operations. The governor recommended $475,000 for startup costs for that facility. There's no tails on that. Once that's up and running, it is intended to be self-supporting. The language in the bill has an appropriation of $113,000 in fiscal year 2011 that is to be used for startup costs. Once again, that money is coming from within the current budget in the department, utilizing a portion of the carry forward. The department had $3,064,000 worth of carry forward coming into fiscal year 10. The combination of the Fergus Falls expansion, the Minneapolis daycare, and the funeral honor guard will use $151,000 of that, so leaving the vast majority of that money still for the department to redirect as they have indicated they wish to. Mr. Chairman, it's not on the spreadsheet because it's language only and was not a governor's position, but it is a dollar item in the bill on 20.33. is a direction to the department that they will utilize $200,000 in fiscal year 10 and fiscal year 11 from the Support Our Troops account for an increase in the CORE grant program. The CORE program, we had testimony on before the committee that they were running out of funds. The department had already indicated that they would direct $200,000 worth of the Support Our Troops account in 10 to that activity. It's this House language directs those funds be directed to the CORE grant program for 10 and also for 11. And Mr. Chairman, I believe the only other item on the spreadsheet that I'd want to point out comes down in where there are revenues. That would be on line 125 and 126. If you recall, the governor recommended transfer to the general fund from the Ag Fund of $1,034,000. That's on line 125. He also recommended a $12,000 transfer from the special revenue account. The House does pick up and take those recommendations, which actually makes a net effect on the target of $1,046,000 to the positive. That would be a summary of the numbers, Mr. Chair.
Okay, just a few comments by me and then certainly questions, and then if anyone wants to come up and visit with us, that's great too. Again, members, I want to echo what Representative Hamilton, the Vice Chair, said here. We are trying our darndest in this difficult time to protect the core services that I think people expect us to do at the department, which is mainly food inspection and laboratory work and animal disease prevention and all those types of things. I think they're critical to the core services of the Department of Agriculture, and we certainly are doing everything in our power to protect them. One of the ways we were able to do that, and again, probably the only piece in here that may get discussion outside the room and beyond, is by eliminating the gypsy moth and emerald ash borer programs. Now, let's remember, I'll just give my opinion. I think there's been kind of a turf fight on this since I've been in the legislature on who should do what on invasive species. And Representative Eakin, you're intimately involved with this as chair of the Environment Policy Committee. I believe that early on some of the activities that we're seeing in the department were put there because USDA probably sent funds over here at one time and agriculture captured them, and we've developed a decent staff and department over there. No one in this committee is saying those activities shouldn't be done. But what we see as the core activities of agriculture are the prevention of invasives coming into the state. They work with USDA and our own folks on border inspections and crop inspections and education and all the things they do to prevent something from coming in. Once it's here, we're supposed to hand off to the Department of Natural Resources for eradication and control activities. In the case of a couple of these things, that's never happened, even though they have the forestry department and they have a lot of the expertise over there. So my suggestion to those that want to continue these programs, and I would suggest some people will want to continue them, is to have the discussion over in the Department of Natural Resources. There's certainly trained staff that could be transferred. There's federal money that comes in that could be realized by them. As you see, there's fees being asked for tree cutters to pay for these programs. But again, what is the function of agriculture? What is the function of DNR, and where's that line drawn? And I know we've had these discussions with Representative Loeffler in the past, and she's argued that more should be over in DNR, and I would tend to agree with her. So we're not saying any of this stuff should not be done. We're just saying it should be done in the right department in this streamlining, and they've been working on a streamlining project, too, over the last year, agriculture, Bowser, DNR, PCA, to try and understand where things should be and where they work most efficiently. So I know there'll be discussion on that in the future, but I wanted to give the reasoning behind that. The other thing I'll tell you is I think a lot of these activities happen in the Twin Cities, quite frankly. That's where a lot of the emerald ash borer scouting and activity is now. Members, in the ag budgets here, almost everything we're cutting is from rural Minnesota. Almost every single thing in this bill is being cut, whether it's ethanol payments, or whether it's Department of Agriculture, internal stuff, you're going to see some cuts in some of these divisions. Every one of them, almost without an exception, are rural services and rural activities. Perhaps by eliminating this is a kind of share the pain thing also, again, until someone realizes where this should be. And I think it's a fairness issue at some point, too, which I will be happy to talk about with people also on this bill. So as people talk to you about the bill, again, realize it's not our intent to cut these services. It's our intent to redirect them over where they belong. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do serve on the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Committee, and I just wanted to kind of back up your remarks. I think this is certainly an appropriate approach for this particular area of our bill. We deal with those issues in that committee on a regular basis. DNR is certainly in a position, I think, to meet those needs adequately. And as we look at the tight budget situation that we're in, and the need to find the appropriate areas, prioritize the areas that we're making changes in, I think this is certainly an appropriate prioritization. I just wanted to lend my support to your decision.
I appreciate your insight. I didn't realize you were over on that committee, and I know it's been ongoing over there because it's a big issue. There's no question. But again, they have the forestry department. They have the folks that really do most of this. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I certainly understand the issue here as far as having the DNR really address this issue. I do think, too, that they're the appropriate agency to be dealing with this issue, and the only issue, obviously, that we're concerned about is the funding.
Right.
And I do think that there is access to greater funding through the legacy amendment that passed as well,
right.
And that's something that needs to be looked at. It's certainly an important issue. We need this to be funded, but do think that the jurisdiction does rightfully belong in the environment. So.
Any other discussion to that point? As I look at the, I made a couple of check marks. Again, realize the percentages there are on the right side, too. Basically, on some of these grants, while you're seeing differences in the amounts, is we just took a flat percent based on the cuts that the department's taking, and we just moved them across the board. So when you see a $1,000 difference or something, that's probably rounding, but it's all based on a straight percent cut. So everyone is basically treated equally, with the exception of our county fairs. Again, I didn't want anyone to have to go home and tell your 4-H'ers that they're not going to get their $3 premium for their blue ribbon or whatever. For $36,000, it's not a fight I want to even discuss. And same way with milk. The Senate emulated that with milk. You know, do we want to go home and say we're cutting food shelf milk at a time when food shelf need is probably up? So maybe some politics in here, and that's certainly true, but I think maybe some common sense on some of these too. So. Discussion. Any questions from the committee before we go to testifiers? Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reinholtz, going back to line 41 on the ag marketing, could you run through that again? Especially talking about the tails and.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Magnus, I made an error. There's an error on the spreadsheet in the tails. The 10 and 11 position is as presented by the governor. The tails then will. With the correction would be a reduction of $8,000 in 12 and $8,000 in 13.
And members,
the language in the bill does not need to be changed.
What we'll do is when Mr. Reinholtz makes a change on his computer, we'll get staff to deliver another copy somehow, either electronically or hard copy to your offices as soon as we can, so you have the latest and greatest and accurate spreadsheet. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Reinholtz. Does that mean that our tails are actually almost $400,000 less of a cut than what it's showing? I assume that it shows up in the total then also.
The tail, Mr.
Up on top there, are the
Mr.
tails
Chair,
target right or wrong?
Mr. Chair, Representative Faust, you are correct. There is less of a cut and the tails target go the wrong way. We will deal with that. I would suggest we'll deal with that as this bill moves along.
It'll be close. You see the 182 under there, too, an overage or underage. And we'll, as long as we're close, I don't think we'll get scolded too much. Tails are important, and they're certainly important to our fiscal people. Any other discussion to the bill right now? All right. Anyone who wants to come up, and I know we got commissioners and deputy commissioners here. Anyone's welcome to come up and weigh in. I'm supposing what you'll say, but, you know, again, we are cutting more than the governor here. There's no question about it. So whether we're happy with it or not, it's the targets we were given. We try to do things as fair as we can. And moving forward, I see Commissioner Hugesson coming. Welcome, Commissioner. Moving forward, as always, my door is always open to anyone who wants to come in and talk about this stuff. And my committee administrator's door and anyone on this committee, please come and see us as we continue to work forward through some of these issues. But these cuts are minor compared to what's coming next year. And let's just remember, this is kind of an exercise of what you all are going to see amplified by two or three next session on a major budget bill. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, members, Gene Hugesson, Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Quinn Cheney, policy person, is
and
here
excuse
with
me, if there's any, some people, I think there might be one amendment floating around. We'll do that after the testimony. Here,
okay, so. I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman, members, appreciate the opportunity just to make some very brief general comments. Certainly, like ourselves, we appreciate the dilemma the committee is in, because the very tough decisions that are going to have to be made by all of us before this is all over is very apparent by much of the discussion that's gone on, even in the session so far. And we recognize, of course, that this is part of the process to get to the final end product that in hopefully within the next couple months, and when this is all needs to be finalized. Certainly, we look at the amount of cuts that the House is proposing compared to where the governor's office is, and recognize that it's significantly more. I also recognize, of course, you are given your marching orders in terms of some of the things that you have to look at trying to achieve, and recognize that puts you in a perhaps not in a complete picture of where you'd like to be either, but nevertheless, we work with what we're given. I would point out, certainly the issue having to do with plant protection. We have struggled and wrestled with that issue as well in terms of where is most appropriate for this to be. You recall from when we presented in the governor's recommendation, we certainly partially addressed that issue and looked at trying to make minimal cuts there without completely making the changes, recognizing that certainly part of the discussion will be is that wherever this program ends up, we'll still need some funding. And so it's an issue of, you know, we're not necessarily looking at resolving our budget problems and giving them to someone else. So that certainly was part of the discussion that we had when we looked at that also. I would, the other thing I guess I would comment on would be the reduction for efficiencies. I fully recognize and applaud this idea, but I hope members realize that this is something that's been going on for a number of years anyway. We are looking at every possible conceivable thing that we can do to achieve some of those efficiencies, recognizing, of course, that there's some things that are somewhat out of our hands. Rent is a big one for us. There's no doubt about it. And as you pointed out, Mr. Chair, there's certainly some issues having to do with some space availability. Anytime the state constructs a building, I think it makes sense that it not be that there is some room for some growth, or certainly to have some opportunity for some changes along the way. And I think members will recognize too that the state has gone to a process of not naming buildings after agencies, but rather after former governors or whatever, because so that it does not signify that building is only for the Department of Ag or only for the Department of Health or the Board of Animal Health, but rather have some flexibility to move in that direction. Be assured that we will continue to work in that area, but there are, of course, are some places where our hands are tied as well too, and it will require some renegotiation on somebody's part. And if those negotiations don't succeed, then we are, as the bill points out, we are responsible for coming up with that $300,000 each year. That will not be easy to do, but certainly we will continue to work with the committee in those areas. I guess the only other thing I would mention is that I certainly want to express my appreciation to you, Mr. Chair, to your staff, to the members of the committee, for the working relationship we've had, because I think the kind of things that we've been able to talk about here, recognizing that in many of the cases that the committee is adopting or is looking at the same recommendations that we made, because there's some rationale behind them. So while there are some differences, be assured that we will continue to work with you all and help in any ways we can to achieve that the end product, recognizing that we've got some bigger work over at the Senate.
And Commissioner, I fondly call you the Commissioner forever because you've been there a long time. But I say that fondly because you do have good experience over there, too. And that's why we really insist on working as close as we can with you, because no one's got more knowledge of that department than you in one single person, just because you've come through three administrations. And I recognize that. So we appreciate the working relationship, too, and the ability of you, basically like last year, to come and negotiate budgets in conference committee and other things. And the governor trusting you to do that says a lot, too. So I just want to point that out for the record.
Mr. Chair, maybe I think I appreciate that compliment. The only thing I would add is that I consider still my most important responsibility is to assemble good staff. And certainly I would compliment the staff that some are in this room, but there's others back in the office as well that are pledged to cooperate as well.
And they've been staff forever, too, so they've been there a long time. And we want to hang on to those folks. Questions to the commissioner, or I don't know if you have anything, Ms. Cheney, that you want to say. Okay, she's just there for questions. Anything? All right. Thank you very much for coming down today. Other people want to testify? Anyone want to weigh in? Otherwise, we'll move to amendments. Okay. Representative Faust, do you have something? I don't think we have it yet.
We should have it.
Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the...
I was hoping we didn't have it. I'm just teasing you.
I move the H3438A1 amendment.
Okay. Representative Faust moves the A1 amendment. Representative Faust, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a very simple amendment. What we're doing with this amendment, the thing that really bothers me about the bill that we've just gone over is the taking the money, the transferring the money out of the dedicated funds. And I expressed that before, this is farmers' money and money paid in by ag businesses, which is in effect really farmers' money as well. And so I really have a problem taking that money out and just dumping it into the general fund, which is basically what's happening. So what I've done is I've taken $200,000 out of the commissioner's office, and I have all the faith that Commissioner Hugesson can find a way to make that cut without the sky falling, and so I'm sure that can happen. And then the balance of the money that would have been coming out of those transfers instead is going to be paid back to those funds once the ethanol payments are done. Then the general fund will restore that money. So what it's basically doing then is, instead of taking the money out of those funds, it's basically giving the state a zero interest loan out of those funds for the 4 or 5 years it takes until those ethanol payments are done. So that's what this amendment does, and I think it's a good amendment. And anyone has any questions?
Well, thank you for that amendment, Representative Faust. I'll weigh in, and you are a person with passion on this issue. I will tell you that, and I understand that. And I'm your seatmate on the House floor, so I recognize that. And I think while this is an interesting idea, and it is, you were creative. I don't know when you thought this up in a dream last night or what, but it's a creative idea to pay it back. My problem is, even with the paying it back, is it comes back after the ethanol deficiency payments, which now are out to 2013 or 2014. Granted, the money's paid back and you're accounting for it. I think it's just too long of a period to even trust another legislative body. You know, we live in two-year terms to do it. So at this point, I'm going to speak against your amendment, but I respect you for offering it. I just, in my mind, we're going to, you know, I don't think anyone in here likes using fees and rolling them into the general fund. It was a governor's recommendation. It's one of those recommendations we're going to take from him and go hand in hand with him on. But whether it's good policy for the long run to continue that or not, I would suggest it probably isn't. And as you can see, we did not do that into the tails. As some of our earlier discussions said, well, you know, the ACRA fund and some of the other things, once they click on, just leave it on. And we got tails money coming, too. So we did try to shut it down, at least this year, getting through it. So I think it's a creative amendment. I think it's one that we should keep up our sleeve, and I will do that as we move forward with negotiations on this bill with the Senate, because we're, as Commissioner Hugesson said, far from done on this and far from done on the discussions. And it's one of those ideas that are here, but I'd be a little reluctant right now to put it in. Representative Magnus.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's just what I was going to point out. We you know, members, we've got to figure out how this bill lines up with the Senate in a proposal where that's going to be wrestled out in a conference committee, number one. And number two, you know, whoever the Commissioner of Agriculture is going to be in these difficult times now we've got up here has got a big challenge on their hands. And I would hate to tie them up with anything in the statute. I'd like to leave the department as much flexibility as they can to try to figure out how they're going to, what we're going to have for a Department of Ag down the road here. We'll see this, so.
And in part of this, I will recognize, too, Representative Faust, that certainly we recognize there's going to be another governor, regardless of party, starting January 1st and forward, which is part of the budget discussion we're having here. And whoever that governor is going to come with their own ideas, and they may be cutting more than you in the commissioner's office, depending on who it is. Or, you know, you can all put a name to a face and to who what they might do to departments if they're elected one way or another, but we won't go into that. But so there's a lot of open-endedness on this, too, which some of this may happen anyway, depending on who the next governor is. So any other questions for Representative Faust? Seeing none. Although, I think she was just waving at a friend. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
Amendment does not pass. Any other amendments or discussions on this?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Agnes.
Thank you. I've got a question, Mr. Reinholz. So we understand the reductions here. Can you tell me then, maybe we could add those numbers on line 31, can you tell me then what the total budget is then for, you know, it's my understanding we didn't really do much to the veterans, but I want to get a handle a little bit more about what the total budget then is for agriculture now.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Magnus, you're asking, I believe, the total
general fund,
not the changes,
right?
The chairman, Representative Magnus, I don't have. I mean, it's not on the spreadsheet. I don't have.
I think the total general fund budget for agriculture with ethanol is about $88 million. Is where we started, something like that, if I'm remembering right. Our total then budget for the division was much higher. Our Veterans Affairs is about 58% of this division, for those that wonder, and 42% is agriculture. But a good chunk of our ag budget is ethanol. So it skews all the numbers we look at. We shouldn't be dividing them, but I'm stalling for him while he's
well,
there, Representative Magnus.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just dug out the sheet the department gave us when we had initial testimony on the governor's proposal and a little bit of the history, and because I'm concerned about this, and according to this document, we've gotten we had larger ethanol payments in the earlier years. But your numbers correct as I see it. We had about $88 million back in 2008 and 9 biennium, and $35 million of that was ethanol payments, including the next gen money that we had too. And that was reduced then to about a little less than $72 million. And so my question now is what for 2010 and 2011, $72 million approximately. I want to see if I'm tracking along here, if we reduce this another 6.7.
Not totally, because Board of Animal Health and AURI is in that 6.7,
yeah.
So it's somewhat less.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Magnus, I did pull out another spreadsheet where I have base amounts for the agencies. They're not calculated, but I can do it quick. The base, they will compare up with the lines up in the summary that I have, where on line 9, the Minnesota Department of Ag, mm-hmm. Not including ethanol. These are December forecast base. I don't believe they changed in February for the Department of Ag. The base general fund budget was $47 million, approximately $400,000. So, and the House recommendations reduced that by $3,051,000, a 6.4% reduction. So they will end up being approximately $44 million, $400,000 of general fund for the biennium. The ethanol payments, the base was $24,336,000. The house reduction is $2,255,000, a 9.3% reduction. That $24 million, when reduced, would be approximately $22,100,000.
But that doesn't change the base. The base going forward, that recovers it going forward in the base.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. It's just 10 and 11, the reduction will be,
yeah,
it'll go back up to the $24,336 in 12 and 13. The Board of Animal Health had a base of $10,550,000 for 10 and 11. The House recommendation reduces that by $228,000. That's a 2.2% reduction. So they will go from 10.5 to approximately 10.330. The AURI had a base of $5,766,000. They were reduced by $370,000, a 6.4% reduction. That will bring them from 5.7 down to approximately 5.3.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Reinholz, when you get us a new spreadsheet, maybe you could provide those numbers to us, too, so we, you know, because I, because my, well, in another,
or another
document,
sheet,
if you could, because I, you know, one of the things I am worried about is maintaining our base as much as possible, and Mr. Chairman, you and I went through 2003 and, mm-hmm, and all the turmoil we had to go through then, and we had to take a lot of cuts and reductions and you know, our base disappears every day, so we've got to, I really want to caution us that, you know, we're looking at, make sure we watch that base as much as possible.
I agree, Representative Mangus. I think the other thing we need to continue talking about with both our Coxes and leadership and others is that percent cut too. You know, overall, we're taking 7.9% cut in agriculture, and I'm still looking, hope I get today, what all the other divisions are taking for a percent cut. And some are going to be substantially less than this. And remember, agriculture budget only accounts for about 0.5% of the state budget. Yet, I remind people every day we're about 20% of the state GDP. So they're getting a pretty darn good return on the money for the investment we make into agriculture. And for some of our colleagues, and I won't name names either, to keep poking and poking and prodding and saying we've got to reduce more in agriculture, I argue just the opposite with them, and I assume the committee will too as we move forward. So I would point that out too. And and again, on veterans, we're actually increasing 0.2%, so we're holding that and actually putting a little more money in on behalf of the bill that Representative Hamilton brought for us. We added some to the MACV account to try and do something there. We're the only game in town for that. As I told people, department didn't recommend it, the governor, the Senate, but the House, we're going to put a placeholder in there so we keep the discussions going at least. And we're kind of the last ship leaving port here on that one, so we wanted to hopefully help any way we can with that program. Any other discussion from members? Otherwise, you know, we're done with testimony, we're done with amendments. We won't have to meet tomorrow night. I'm sure all of you were excited to do that, but we will send Mr. Gilday home tomorrow night to his wife and warm hearth or whatever you want to be here. I appreciate the work, members. Again, remember, this is a supplemental budget. We didn't change a lot, but what we changed, you know, is always significant, but this is kind of a prelude to what you're going to see next year amplified many times over if you're back sitting in this committee. So,
well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Magnus,
to the point you brought up just a minute ago, and I do appreciate working with you and the other members of the committee. It's a great committee, and you and I have been friends for a long time working these battles. But again, I don't know what the other targets are for the other committees. I don't know how this sits in relationship to that. As I understand it, we're supposed to do a three-tier approval basis for these budgets and so on. You know, doing these smaller, if you will, budgets, and then doing maybe health care later on, and then K-12 education later on, and. Mr. Chairman, I don't agree with that concept. I want to see all the cards on the table. You know, I don't want to deal out cards as we're going through the game here. And I understand, you know, the spot that we're in here in agriculture. We know we've got to have reductions here, but we know but we've got to do what we can to protect the largest industry in the state, too. And so until I can see those numbers, Mr. Chairman, I really do appreciate you and I, our relationship and working together on this. But until I can see those numbers, I just can't support the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
So appreciate it.
All right. Any other discussion? Thank you for that. Seeing none, all those in favor of House File, what's our number here? 3438, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Bill passes. Thank you, members. Keep an eye on your computer. We'll let you know schedules next week as we develop them. Committee's adjourned.